Our first scripture reading is found in your Bibles in the book of the prophet Isaiah. It's on page 792. We read Isaiah 63, beginning at verse 7. I will recount the steadfast love of the Lord, the praises of the Lord, according to all that the Lord has granted us, and the great goodness to the house of Israel, that he has granted them according to his compassion, according to the abundance of his steadfast love. For he said, surely they are my people, children who will not deal falsely. And he became their Savior. In all their affliction, he was afflicted, and the angel of his presence saved them. In his love and in his pity, he redeemed them. He lifted them up and carried them all the days of old. But they rebelled and grieved his Holy Spirit. Therefore, he turned to be their enemy and himself fought against them. Then he remembered the days of old, of Moses and his people. Where is he who brought them up out of the sea with the shepherds of his flock? Where is he who put in the midst of them his Holy Spirit, who caused his glorious arm to go at the right hand of Moses, who divided the waters before them to make for himself an everlasting name, who led them through the depths? Like a horse in the desert, they did not stumble. Like livestock that go down into the valley, the Spirit of the Lord gave them rest. So you led your people to make for yourself a glorious name. This is the word of the Lord. Our second reading is found in Galatians. It's on page 1246, and we read Galatians 4, beginning at verse 4. When the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through God. This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel is found in the Gospel according to St. Matthew, found on page 1032. We read Matthew 2, beginning at verse 13. Now, when the wise men had departed, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, Rise, take the child and his mother and flee to Egypt, and remain there until I tell you. For Herod is about to search for the child to destroy him. And he rose and took the child and his mother by night and departed to Egypt, and remained there until the death of Herod. This was to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Out of Egypt I called my son. Then Herod, when he saw that he had been tricked by the wise men, became furious. And he sent and killed all the male children in Bethlehem and in all that region who were 2 years old or under, according to the time that he had ascertained from the wise men. Then was fulfilled what was spoken by the prophet Jeremiah. A voice was heard in Ramah, weeping and loud lamentation, Rachel weeping for her children. She refused to be comforted because they are no more. But when Herod died, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, saying, Rise. take the child and his mother and go to the land of Israel. For those who sought the child's life are dead. And he rose and took the child and his mother and went to the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus was reigning over Judea in place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. And being warned in a dream, he withdrew to the district of Galilee. And he went and lived in a city called Nazareth, and what was spoken by the prophets might be fulfilled: he shall be called a Nazarene. This is the word of the Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God, our Heavenly Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus. Amen. My text for today is from your gospel lesson. And just to review what took place after Jesus was born. Then Herod, when he saw that he had been tricked by the wise men, became furious. He sent and killed all the male children in Bethlehem and in all that region who were 2 years old or under, according to the time that he had ascertained from the wise men. This is our text. One of the more well-known quotations of the 20th century, at least from people who track such things, is this: all that is necessary for evil to triumph is for good people to do nothing. But unfortunately, evil does triumph. In the days of King Herod, Herod himself actually didn't go out and kill a bunch of 2-year-old children, ripping them out of mother's arms. There were probably some among the soldiers that he had do that. I thought this was terrible, but they did it anyway. How many soldiers did it take? Did it take hundreds upon hundreds? So that there was no way that, if you will, the citizens of that town could resist? You know, I'm going to guess not. I'll bet it was a dozen or less. Easily overcome by crowds of people, but they did nothing. And yes, lest you think our world is any different, about a dozen times a year or so, if you like to read the newspaper, or sometimes it even comes across the internet news, you'll hear of some poor individual in New York or Chicago or Los Angeles beaten to death in front of a crowd who easily could have stopped the assailant. But they just stood by and watched. And in our world today, year after year, in nations that are actually not having enough babies to replace their own population, many of those nations have the highest abortion rate in the world. But what is done? And no, going out and bombing abortion clinics is not the right thing to do. But if you have an opportunity to make the case, do you say something, or do you just go, "Oh, we're not going to go there today"? That just causes too much conflict. We'll just avoid the subjects. All that is necessary for evil to triumph is for good people to do nothing. And it occurs in so many different ways in our life. How many times, and if you will, different areas of life, Have you just said to yourself, you know, I just don't want to get involved? Or said, you know, we're having such a good time, let's just not go there. And whatever wrong we see simply continues because we choose to do nothing. As evil triumphed in the days of Herod, so down through the ages it continues in ways to triumph in so many different avenues of everyday life. And we have to confess to our Lord that on many occasions our silence, our inaction, stands as testimony that we aren't that good. Oh, we go to church. Oh, we try to live a good life. But how often do we ignore the evil around us? When God created man, that's not how He designed us to be. We were created in His image. And when the Son of God came to earth and took on human flesh, if you will, at last there was one good man willing to do something, even though he knew it would cost him dearly. God has a different character from sinful man. He doesn't just sit idly by as evil does its work. He steps in at great cost to himself. Jesus leaves his heavenly throne. He comes to earth. He takes on this frail human flesh of ours. And though even as a child, the world is chasing after him, seeking to destroy him, he continues his work. Around the age of 30, he begins his public ministry. He teaches about love. He heals people. He even raises the dead. What is there to object to in somebody doing all that? But he was seen as a threat to power and might and wealth. And so they arrested him. They nailed him to a cross, and he died. And the world thought that they had triumphed over him. But all it takes to triumph over evil is for a good man to do something. While Jesus was both God and man, he was not like us. For he committed no sin. He was perfectly obedient to his heavenly Father. And by his death, he conquered death. And in his resurrection, he gave to us that which we didn't deserve because of our turning of blind eyes, our going along with the crowd, our silence when we needed to be speaking out. One good man, both God and man, gave his life. that the evil this world is willing to tolerate might ultimately be defeated, and that death, which had a chokehold on us, from which we could never remove ourselves, might be destroyed in his resurrection and in his ascension to his heavenly throne. That is the God that we worship. And the life that Jesus lived, taking evil head on, no matter what it costs, that's the life that God wants to give to you and to me. In a world of sin, it is not an easy life. Sometimes living that kind of life can cost us dearly, as it cost our Lord. But my friends, that is the life to which we have been called. A life reflective of the image of God. A life that we were originally created to live in. And the only life that we can have living with our Lord. One good man. Both God and man, our Lord Jesus Christ, came to earth, died, and rose again. Not just so that he could triumph over evil, but so that he could give us that life we have forfeited, and ultimately enable us to triumph over evil and death and hell itself through faith in him. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which transcends all human understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds through faith in Jesus. Amen.